So we are talking about light. Light as opposed to darkness. The light of Jesus Christ who has stepped into the darkness of our world, which is real, tangible, sometimes oppressive darkness. And so what does it really look like for the light of Christ to come in into our world and to spread, to make a real impact? That's the question for us. We're reading this week a portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's the longest compiled sermon that we have of the teachings of Christ on what it means to be a follower, a real disciple of Jesus. And it is certainly a difficult calling that Jesus is calling us to step into. This is apparent in his teachings. We're reading from the Gospel of Matthew this week from chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So I want to start in a slightly different place. There's a line that is sticking with me in the very opening, very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, just a few sentences before our scripture today. In Matthew 5, the scripture says that when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down and began to teach them. This beginning line, when Jesus saw the crowds, it says. It's an almost irrelevant detail, it seems, but it appears in a couple other places in the Gospel of Matthew, and always it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And I think here that's exactly what Jesus is trying to teach us about, having this Christ-like compassion for the world, the broken, the poor in spirit. Seeing the world as it is, seeing the crowds of people like sheep without a shepherd, Jesus has compassion on them. The world is in need of the light of Christ. And so he says, you are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Mindy Kaling, you may have heard of her. She's a really funny comedian, a comedy writer, and actress. And she wrote a book, and in her book, it's called Why Not Me, she spends one chapter of it telling us, with mostly sarcasm, all of her beauty secrets. She is beautiful, but they're mostly sarcastic. And one of her beauty tips, she says, just stay in the shadows. It's her beauty tip, stay in the shadows. We look best, she insists, under the forgiving light of the shadows, without the harsh brightness revealing every detail that we'd rather keep hidden, just stay in the shadows. And this may be our preference when it comes to a few other things as well, in the world, in our lives, just stay in the shadows. Don't draw attention, don't make too much noise, don't step out of your lane. If we just live our lives and let everybody else live their lives, we'll make it through this life just fine. Just hide the light a little bit under a basket, bushel, whatever you got. The Roman Empire that Jesus was stepping into thought of themselves as a kind of light for the world, a beacon of light for mankind. And as far from the truth as that may seem now, I can see how we might land there, where we might assume we can step back, that our leaders, our governments, they can be the light, the beacon, though we know that's not the case. We may feel safer, more inclined to step back just a little. Let other people try their hand at being salt and light. Let them take the hit. But we can't hide the light under the bushel. You are the light of the world, Jesus says, the salt of the earth. Seeing the crowds, Jesus has compassion on them. This is what he's trying to teach us. Years ago, Rebecca Pippert wrote a book entitled Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. And she makes the point that salt doesn't do anyone much good if it's kept on the shelf just there in the salt shaker. If salt stays in the salt shaker, then it's just a nice table ornament. If it's to do any good at all, it has to come out. It's like light. Like if someone were to light a lamp and then put a bucket over it, it makes no sense. It's intended to give light to others so they can see. In the same way, salt isn't meant for the shaker, it's meant for the world. This is a unique calling for us and not anybody else. Nobody else can do it for us. We are the light, the salt of the earth. Jesus says right from the start, he says, if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Are we being the salt for the world, or have we lost some saltiness? It is possible in a number of ways for any one of us to struggle a little to be the light, the salt, this light of the world that the world needs. We can at times become in some way stuck or stale. We can be more bitter or negative than we know we should be. Or maybe we're just trying to get through the day or the week, the month. But then do we have this saltiness? Are we being the flavor that the world needs? Are we being the light that Jesus is calling us to be? This is a daunting challenge that Jesus is calling us into as believers. There was a time, sorry, there was a, I need to fix this. There was a time I was trying to light this lamp, and I flipped on the switch, and nothing happened. No light came on, and I wiggled the bulb a little bit and tried again, and nothing happened. So I had to go to the closet to get a new bulb and go through the process of changing the light bulb, and I flipped on the switch, nothing happened, and I wiggled the bulb and nothing happened. So finally I bent down and found the plug hanging there, not at all plugged in to the wall. This is a universal human experience, I assume. That was the problem. Plug it in to the power source and you get light. And of course it's the same with us. We can shine the light in this world. We need to, we have to. But in truth, we're not the real source of our power. In Psalm 27, a psalm of David, David writes a prayer. In the first five words of this prayer, it says, "The Lord is my light." And he goes on to say a whole lot more, but really he could have stopped there with those five words, "The Lord is my light." And it could be our prayer over and over, "The Lord is our light." We may be the light for the world, but the Lord is our light and shines within us so that we may be the light for the world. It's not a matter of trying harder, of doing better, of shining our light brighter. It's wholly in our connection with Jesus Christ. The Lord is my light. C.S. Lewis once said that the best argument against Christianity is Christians. When they are somber and joyless, when they are self-righteous and smug, when they're narrow and repressive. But he said also that the best argument for Christianity, he says it's also Christians. Their joy, their certainty, their completeness, the best argument for Christianity is Christians. The world needs every little bit of light that can shine through us. The Bishop William temple, it was often quoted as saying that the church is the only organization on earth that exists for those who are not its members, for everyone else. The world needs the light of Christ, and we are called to be that light for the world. There was a woman who was in great distress, and she felt like she had lost her way and lost the sense of God. And she said, "Why doesn't God make me feel like he's here? If only I could feel him and know for sure that he has touched me." And an old woman who was sitting there with her said, "Pray to him. Ask him to touch you. He'll put his hand on you." And so she began to pray in her distress and suddenly felt the hand of God touching her. She cried out, "He touched me," and was filled with joy. And then she said, "But you know what? It felt a little like your hand. Felt a little like your hand." And the old woman said, of course it was my hand. What did you think God was doing? Did you think God would just extend a long arm out of heaven to touch you? He just took the hand that was nearest and used that. And through our hands and our feet, our smile, our touch, our listening ear, the light of Christ can shine through us to a world who needs it. We can be the bearers of the light of Christ for the world. The story is told of a young boy who was looking out the front window of his home one evening, and he saw a man coming down the street with a flame on the end of a long, long stick. And one by one, the man was lighting the gas lights on the street in front of his house. And astonished by this man's ability to light up the street, he called out, "Hey, look, Mom," he said, there's a man punching holes in the darkness. Man punching holes in the darkness. With the world of ours, this world of ours, darkness that can seem pervasive, oppressive, the world needs believers who will be the light of Christ, punching holes in the darkness, one by one. Light can shine in the world with the little gifts that we have to give, little acts of kindness that we share. The light shines so the world can see the true source of our light and give glory to our Father in heaven. Jesus isn't asking our permission here. He's not telling us to do better or to try harder to shine our light brighter. This is not just some command for us or instruction about what we're supposed to do. Instead, this is a promise about who we really are in Christ Jesus. If you notice, he doesn't offer the sort of command you might expect from Jesus. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Because of the astonishingly bright, an amazing gift that Jesus is for believers who are connected to him, our source of power. Our very identity is being altered. Our composition is shifting so that we can be the light of Christ for the world. This is who you are, the light of the world. So let your light shine, Jesus says. John Westerhoff is an author and Episcopal priest. And he tells the story of how every time his children would get ready to go and leave the house, he would say to them, "Remember who you are. You're a Westerhoff, and that stands for something. Remember, you're a part of this family, and what you do, what you say, the values you live is a reflection of who we all are." And I think perhaps that these are good words for us here to remember as we pause here in worship, before we go back out to live out our lives of faith in this world. Remember, you are a Christian. That stands for something. Remember who you are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine. Amen.